Welcome to Really Important Fictional Things. My name's Rosie.
And my name is Avery, and today we are... Wow, my voice sounds so crazy.
She's sick.
I sound like velvety. What are we doing? We're doing Mrs. Doubtfire, Robin Williams classic. Has a lot of interesting shit to say about gender, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yes.
And then we'll tell you what we've been watching, and that's it.
Here we go. Okay, so I know you've seen this movie a lot. When did you last see it?
A long time ago.
Okay.
Because I had a different experience of it this time.
Yeah, I was curious.
Than I've had in the past.
Because I think I've seen it. I must have seen it at least once, but yeah. I had no real memory of it aside from the scenes that I feel like are memes now. Like a lot of it, I was like, well, I know that line and he's so iconic. So there was a lot of stuff Robin Williams is doing that I'm like, I got this, but I did not remember the story. And one of my main takeaways, and yes, we will get into gender. I read some articles about that too. One of my main takeaways was like, this movie is sad.
The movie's sad, yeah.
I was not expecting sad. And obviously there's humor in it. But the first like 20 minutes, I just wrote down like, I'm very sad. Is this movie supposed to be sad? Like, is that the experience I'm supposed to have? I think it's for kids, right? So usually there's like high emotions for kids stuff, but.
Yeah, and also as a child, I had no context for any of the sad things or high. Like, it didn't
That's
hit
true
me.
Too. Yeah.
You've said before that kids have limited capacity for empathy.
Yes, they do. So they're not feeling sad. Whereas I was like, I'm feeling bad for Miranda, the wife. I'm also feeling bad for Daniel. I'm feeling so bad for the kids. Like, I was having a lot of, I was like, you poor things. I mean, it ends on an upbeat of like, they're going to be okay. It's not like a devastating ending or anything, but yeah, I just, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's intense. It's very real. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, like totally over the top.
Yeah. I did, yes. I did read one article that said something about how like more and more people were getting divorced in the 80s and the 90s because they finally could. Like it was becoming more socially acceptable and was easier legally and religiously, I guess, to do it. So this movie does get a lot of credit for showing a divorce, like, in a mainstream thing, and nobody's terrible. Like, I mean, he's pretty rough as a husband.
Like, she's pretty rough as an ex-wife, though. I was honestly kind of like, dude.
Oh, I did not have that experience. I was like, I cannot imagine trying to raise children with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really feeling bad for her. A lot of the time. But we should get into
even
that.
Even after they were separated, you were still feeling bad for her?
Yeah.
Really?
You weren't?
Why? No, not really. I was like, why
he
are you
was
being
so
rude?
He's so rude to her. I feel like he does not respect her at all. I felt like he was very dismissive. And then, I mean, I mostly was feeling bad because she's being manipulated the entire movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, by the time he becomes Mrs. Doubtfire, for sure, that's fucked up.
So but there's like before, that one pocket.
Yeah, like when he moves into the apartment and she's an hour late dropping them off and an hour early picking them up and just like shitting on his apartment the whole time that she's there.
Yeah.
Like she just kicked him out of his whole life.
Yes. No, that's true. I guess I was watching it with the perspective of like, you are a grown man. Unpack your boxes. Like can. And mostly because the movie, and I at one point literally wrote like, he's clearly not okay, but they didn't like really explore if it was, you know, depression, anxiety, something else. I read one article where they were placing him on the spectrum, like they think he might be on the spectrum, which was interesting. So if I take that stuff into account, I was like, okay, yeah, I can have, like, you're struggling and you're trying to figure it out and like your life just completely fell apart. So I do feel for him on that. But I don't know. I guess I was on her side a touch just because it's not like new. This is 14 years of him being this way and like not meeting her anywhere. So I feel like I might have been as bitchy as she was.
I think for
the
me,
hour,
I mean, I
the timing was shitty. I agree with you on that. Like being late and then getting them early. He has so little time with them.
He spent a lot of time with them, and I just think it's like shitty for the kids too. Like the way she's talking about him, like in front of him, in front of the kids.
Yeah, I mean, like, he did it too, because his little girl calls him out on it.
Yeah, but not like in front of the mom. Like too, I don't feel like he's standing there having like a family fight, like in his room. Like he did it once by accident.
Right, right, right.
I don't know. I just I as someone that's like struggled with mental health a lot, I don't know. I was just like, I feel like you're expecting way too much of him way too quickly.
Yeah, based on where we know he's at. And like he can't hit that yet, hit that bar yet. Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. I guess for me it was like, because it also wasn't, that wasn't really being explicitly talked about. So I was watching him as like someone capable of this stuff and sort of choosing to not engage with it, which maybe isn't fair. Maybe that's not what the character was supposed to be representing or where he actually was.
Yeah, I think he was just like too pure for this world, kind of. And like never grew up, probably because he hid in like her, you know, capability or whatever. Yeah. I mean, they have that conversation when they're sitting at the table when he's Mrs. Doubtfire, and she explains that she like felt like a worse version of herself around him, and like he was like completely unaware that she was like crying herself to sleep, which is like, dude, what have you been doing?
Are you not in the room?
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought, I was thinking about that a lot more watching it through this time. Like now, you know, being older, having gone through multiple relationships or whatever, I was thinking a lot about how stepping out of his role as the husband, like his actual person, and like playing a role that was like just meant to take care of his wife. Like he was doing all the things that she would have wanted a good husband to do.
Yeah.
And sort of like understanding not just why that matters to her, but also like why that's better for the family and like makes him like a better, more empathetic, more aware person. And I thought that was cool.
I loved There's
like another level to it that I missed as a kid.
Sure. Of course. Of course. No, I loved that too. And I also especially like, because he was holding down a full-time job in addition to being Mrs. Doubtfire. So like theoretically, this could have been happening before. I mean, it couldn't clearly because of the dynamic and everything you just said. But I agree, because at one point he was – because he wasn't able to cook, right? And he had to, like, get the takeout, which was so funny. And then when he's writing, he's like – but then later he goes home and is watching cooking shows. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you could have done this before. I understand
that. You could have just been a stay-at-home dad.
That's like, what I was like. You could have just why were you – and you could have been a stay-at-home dad that, like, yes, have fun with your children and goof around. And I think the balance he was looking for was how to, like, be their friend, because they are so important to him. And I have my own opinions on, like, parents being friends with their kids. But then also, as Mrs. Doubtfire, he had no trouble being like, we're not watching TV. You are doing your homework or you are cleaning. Like, those are the options. But as a dad, he didn't seem comfortable with that, or he didn't want to. Who knows? Or he didn't want them to see him that way or something. But I thought that was really interesting.
I thought the beginning was an interesting creative way of having, like, that save the cat moment. You know, like, I don't know if people are familiar
when he's
with
doing the voiceovers. You mean?
Yeah, and then he decides that he's, like, going to stand up for child smoking. Like, you know what I mean? For most people probably know, but the save the cat idea is that in the beginning of your movie, you have your protagonist do something that's, like, noble or moralistic or something, and it's supposed to get the audience on the side of your character really early on. And so I thought it was so – it did such a nice job of both, like – demonstrating his morals and values, and then he cared about kids, and then also being like, but dude, sometimes you have to suck it up.
yeah because I had a moment of like, okay, but you need to get paid though.
Yeah.
Like, finish this job and then you can take not work for them in the future. But no, yeah, you're right, it did a good job of that, because you also were like, well, I guess, like, I'm glad you're against this message. Also,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, the smoking came up twice, because they were smoking in the beginning, and then the whole, I mean, how he gets caught at the restaurant with the smoking, non-smoking sections. When did that stop? Because this is 1993, and I guess I vaguely remember as a kid asking for, like, non-smoking rooms. Well, not me, but, like, my parents asked for, like, a non-smoking room or something. But I don't know. That was sort of blowing my mind that people could be smoking in that restaurant in 1993. That's crazy.
It's also just so silly that the idea that you could have a non-smoking section.
If like, there's
the
a smoking section.
Free flowing.
It's in the air. I had that too. The smoking section would have to be like another room with a closed door.
Yeah.
Or something. Or
I can't
outside.
Believe that people use. Yeah. I can't believe that people used to smoke on airplanes.
No, you're just
That's
trapped
crazy.
Right in it. And I don't know what they knew in 1983, but, and I understood obviously it was for the humor of it that he needed the family to sit in the smoking section so he could go back and forth. But I also was like, you're subjecting your kids to all this smoke just because you got a savior, which he did. I do think that was the right decision, but it was just sort of funny that he was like, smoking, yep, put them all in the smoking section because I have to go over there in a second. That
yeah.
That's funny. I that didn't remember that scene at all. Like, I did not remember how he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't even know if I saw this movie.
As a child.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, just talking about the gender stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's multiple levels of that stuff going on because there was the gender roles between him and his wife, even just that he was like through that party for his kid and get to dance with them or whatever. And then the whole conversation they have when she's cleaning, like they're cleaning up and she's like, you keep putting me in this position. Like I can't be fun in any way because you like overdo it and I'm stuck having to clean up. I feel like I've seen that a lot. And the older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, you, this is not a partnership. Like you two don't have a partnership. And I do think that can happen with couples, and I guess I've mostly only seen it with men and women, but it sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's like, I don't want to be a stick in the mud. Like, this is not a pleasant place or role to have.
No, and the weirdest thing about that happening in relationships, friendships, or I mean, even like at work or your significant other, is that that person that you're having the conflict with only sees that version of you.
Right.
So they don't understand that that's not who you are because you like physically can't be a different person around them.
Yeah.
And it's like this weird self-fulfilling prophecy and it's really gaslighting and it's like so, it's such a bizarre situation.
Yeah. And it's like the scales are so unaligned that to like get them back to the middle, I feel like that you just said gaslighting, it made me think of it because I feel like the person who's like being quote unquote high strung or really intense about keeping things clean or whatever, if they decide to just like let it go, that will only work if you like pick some of what I've let go back up so we like level slightly. I guess I'm specifically thinking about cleaning because otherwise we're all just living in a pigsty now and that's not what I want.
That is a concept in therapy. I might have even talked about it on this podcast, though. There's a version, there's a modality that's called, I can't remember what it's fucking called, but it's basically this idea that relationships are transactional and you put a certain amount of effort in and then the other person reacts to it. So the idea is that like if there's 100% effort in your relationship and someone's putting in 80%, the other person is just naturally only going to put in 20% and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of, I don't know, I'm not like blaming the victim and it's like a shitty situation. But if you are in a situation where you feel like you're not getting what you want or you're giving too much or you're too emotionally vulnerable or something, like if you can pull back, usually the other, either the other person will rise to it because they actually want to save that relationship or the relationship will fall apart,
right,
which is why people don't do it because they're afraid of losing the relationship. But, you know, that's a good way to be like, actually, no, like I'm walking the walk
of what
I want. You know what I mean?
I totally hear you. And I think that is good advice. I think it's especially hard when it's a family because I think it's really hard when there are kids because, yeah, you don't want to lose the relationship, but it's also like – how the children see roles being like, what is the word I'm looking for? How they're then perceiving gender roles or the roles in a relationship is also really skewed. So it's like really high risk if you're her and you decide to just like do less to see what happens unless there's some sort of understanding from the other person. And I feel like he wasn't hearing her. He was just like yelling back at her.
Yeah, totally.
But that theory makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. Especially if you're just, I mean, losing the relationship is still a very scary thing, but if there aren't kids, yeah, like look for 50-50 guys, folks, whatever. Yeah. I think that makes sense to like pull back a little. And then also it gives the person the opportunity to step up, because maybe they want to, but they think you're so on top of it that they don't like have to do anything else.
Yeah. This is sort of a tangent, but I also saw recently a video. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where. But it was this woman saying that, like, the idea that you're able, that you should be able to show up 100% for your partner every day is just, like, unsustainable. It's not realistic.
Totally ridiculous.
And so she and her partner have this thing. It kind of reminds me of how you and I have our 1 to 5 scale, mm-hmm. about, like, how much you care about something, so you can be, like, very clear about where you stand.
It's so great. Everyone should do it.
It is. The idea is that if you have a disagreement or you're having a conversation or something, you can be like, well, this is what I want, but I'm at a 2. And then the other person can be like, well, I'm at a 4. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, we're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, because I don't. Like, right.
Matters more to you.
Yes.
Whereas if you don't have that, you can – especially with women, you can be like, is she just letting me win? Yes. Like, does she really feel that way?
And sometimes I'll do it even. I'll say, like, I don't really care. And in my head, I'm like, I care.
I do care.
But the number forces you to be like, okay, I'm a 5. This is very important to me.
Yeah, totally. It's very helpful. So this woman was saying you can't always show up. And she was like, what we do is we tell the other person where we're at. So like if we come home and we had a really bad day, like I'll just be like, listen, I can give 20% today. Mm-hmm. And then he knows what to expect. And like sometimes he'll rise to do the 80%, mm-hmm. or like sometimes we're both at 20%. And like that's just where we are.
And we order not, like, pizza and that's attack. What's up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's not because you don't love the other person. Like that's where you're at, you know?
No, so I love that. I think it's just a way to give people grace too. And a lot of it is – at least for me, and I think why that works for us but could work in any relationship, is if you know where the person's at and they're able to communicate that to you and you can change your expectations, everything is so much easier because there's no, you're not like all trying to read into subtext or what's unsaid. It just brings everyone to the same plane, even if it's like, okay, we're both at 10%, so we're not going to really talk today and we'll get takeout. Mm-hmm. The kids are watching a movie.
It does definitely require like a certain level of being in touch with your feelings that not everybody has, though.
No, not
like it would be infuriating if you were constantly having disagreements and the other person was always like, well, I'm a 1.
Yes. You're like, well, what? That's not working. Or I'm always at a 5. I'm like, okay, so I just lose every time because you decide you care like a lot every time. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. You do have to have some emotional intelligence and ability to self-reflect.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Which, yes, not everyone can do.
Also about the gender stuff, sort of like a different take. I mean, it is a different take on it. Lots of transphobia in this movie.
Yes.
Like
so
intense transphobia.
Really intense. So I looked that up like right as the movie started. I was just curious. So I literally just Googled like, does Mrs. Doubtfire hold up? And I was curious. There was a lot of articles, a lot of opinions on this, a lot of Reddit threads. Basically, no was the takeaway, but a lot of people were able to also be like, you know, it's from the 90s, it's representing its time, da da da. There was one really interesting article we can put in the show notes where the author or the writer of the article is like, yeah, for its time, we can say that, and I think that's important to note, but at the same time, that doesn't mean we have to like give everything a pass. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that really stood out to me was that when the children, the older children, see Mrs. Doubtfire peeing with a penis, and their immediate response is to call the cops.
Right.
I was like, that's a very intense reaction and is transphobic. Mm-hmm. Given what they knew, this person was lying to them, though. So having a scared response isn't totally unbelievable. I don't know. I had mixed feelings. I was like, I don't know what they should have done in this moment, but what did you think of that watching it now?
No, I agree. I mean, my immediate reaction was to be like, this is fucking weird that they just assume that she's going to like now attack them.
Right.
Because
she's
like,
been lovely.
But at the same time, I didn't think about it like the way that you just said, which is that now they have basically a stranger.
Right. Like, they were like, well, I don't know who you are now. Like this is.
Yeah.
So it's.
I don't know. Now it would be totally different because there's no reason that if you are fully transitioned that you have to – I mean, even if you're not, there's no reason that you have to disclose to people your gender identity or your sex at birth. But yeah, for the time, I guess it makes sense. And they're kids. I don't know.
And they're kids. Yeah, I had mixed feelings. I didn't know.
What I didn't like is that the husband or the not the husband, the son was like, I don't want to hug you.
Yes, that's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, that was weird.
And then Robin Williams is just sort of like, that's okay, it's a guy thing. And I was like, what?
Yeah. I know. This movie really it like straddled this weird line of being like super progressive and then also super traditional.
Yes.
And it felt like they were kind of trying to put like we've talked about feminist breadcrumbs. It kind of felt like they were trying to put like queer breadcrumbs mm-hmm. in. Like they, you know, have a gay uncle mm-hmm. who has a partner and like, but at the same time, he refers to them as like uncle, whatever his name is, Uncle Stan or whatever, and Aunt Jack, which is like a weird gender role thing.
Weird gender role thing. Although I read some articles where they were like, multiple queer people said we loved that, like, it's Aunt Jack. I was like,
yeah.
Okay. I mean, like anytime you're talking about any group, the response was varied.
Right.
Amongst
I mean, my gut reaction as a queer person was also to love it.
Yeah. And a lot of the ones, because so they were going to make it a play in 2019. Did you hear about mm-hmm. any of that? And mm-hmm. a group was trying to protest it because they were like, okay, like it lived in the 90s and okay, but let's not recreate this story. Mm-hmm. So they, a bunch of people who identified LGBTQIA in some way were interviewed before they saw the show and after. So people loved them. So in the before interviews, they were all saying, like, I loved the original movie. I don't actually think it needs to be recreated. And a lot of them talked about, like, the man in the dress idea and that being a joke. And that was the main mm-hmm. part that they were like, I understand, you know, for its time, but I don't think we need to make that joke anymore. And it's erasing of, you know, trans women aren't men in dresses. And I don't want right. that to, like, be the way it's talked about. And then after the show, kind of the same love. People were like, okay, like that musical was pretty good. The acting was very impressive. But when they turn Mrs. Doubtfire into Mrs. Doubtfire, there's a song where they literally sing about how they like have created a monster. And
what?
I was like, if you're writing it in 2019, why would that be the song? You could write
so
any number of other things. Because obviously that, again, it's like, I don't know. It feels like that thing where the person who wrote it could be like, oh, it was just a joke. And you're like, all right. But why is that the joke you made? And if that's someone's identity, it's like really,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, completely erasing of them or insulting them both, I guess. Like how.
It's like honestly a little bit like emotionally violent.
Yeah, it's rough.
Now when I watch things like that, I like imagine being, not that I can ever know exactly what it feels like, sure. but I do imagine like identifying like that and watching this, especially if you like were a trans person in 93 right. and you like couldn't come out watching right. this. He's such a confirmation that, like, you better stay in that closet. Like, you better not come out. Like, nobody wants you.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Like, it's just – you're, like, a joke or you're a deviant. Like, it's yeah. not safe to be you. And that, mm-hmm. yeah, is really – what a horrible message to internalize.
I did think it was very funny when the bus driver, like, when his stocking falls down and you see his hairy knee and the bus driver says, I love that Mediterranean look. That made me laugh a lot.
I thought it was funny that I couldn't tell. It was one of those things where I was like, is this because they just want to make that joke or it is like women, we see you. We know men are hitting on you no matter what if you're female. But like she got hit on by and she kept being whistled at and stuff. Mm-hmm, I was like,
yeah.
What is the purpose? It made me laugh. Like I chuckled every time it happened. But I was like, what's the – what is this? Is it just funny or is it something else?
But I don't know. I think men actually like women that have elevated testosterone levels within a certain window.
That's possibly true. And also, I mean, all different men like all different women, you know, like, that's but true. It was just mm-hmm. funny that that was how they wrote, that they wrote it. But I mean, I wrote down like instantly hit on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once there are boobs and you appear female immediately. And I liked that at least the way Robin Williams played it, like a little uncomfortable. Like, mm-hmm. he put his bag on his lap and was like, okay, like, I don't want to deal with you. And I was like, that's what it feels like. Even getting mm-hmm. on the bus, you're like, oh, fuck, this guy's going to say something mm-hmm. and I don't want to deal with it.
I went to Staples yesterday mm-hmm. and I was sitting in my car and I just, like, I, like, walked out, was sitting in my car, I was like getting ready to go, and I look over, and like 100 feet, it was like far, like maybe, I don't know. I can't estimate. It was a few cars over or whatever. This guy was just staring at me, and he like very slowly just like puts a hand up and waves at me. And I was like, what? And I just turned my head.
No.
What do you think is
going to happen?
We don't
want this type of attention.
It was kind of validating because I worry about my haircut right now.
No, I mean, I think normalizing that is important. Like, I don't know. There's something, and maybe it's because we've been like indoctrinated into thinking it, but there is something walking by a construction site or something and they notice you that I at least am like, I shouldn't be flattered, but also – I look good today. Also, please stop. This is uncomfortable, and now I don't want like any more of this interaction.
Yeah. But yeah. It's just such a weird interaction because it's like, what do you want to I guess they're not thinking about what do you want to accomplish, but
that's my question too. Just
bizarre, yeah.
And is it like, I mean, for some people it's got to be the reaction is fun or interesting, like that's as far as they're thinking about it.
Yeah, I just can't imagine, like, as someone who's attracted to women, I can't imagine ever doing that. Like, I would just feel so awkward and, like, apologetic.
Yeah. She then does it as Mrs. Doubtfire, too. Or he does it as Mrs. Doubtfire while presenting as Mrs. Doubtfire. And that was, I mean, he was drinking, I guess. But I was like, stop it.
Yeah,
doing?
He must be a real lightweight because he seems to get
it was like one beer. I'm glad at the dinner they said it was double scotches. So I was like, okay, maybe if you like drank too fast, that's 4 shots. That's like could throw you off and you haven't eaten anything yet. But yeah, he threw one beer and then like winking at her. I was like, and throwing the lime in his head.
Yeah, that was really funny.
His reaction to getting hit by that lime was very funny to me because he was like so upset, but turns around very slowly, says nothing. Robin Williams like goes on his little rant about how it was like someone from the kitchen or something. And at least for me, I couldn't read if he like bought it or was like, that's stupid. It was like, obviously you, because he doesn't do anything and then just like very slowly turns back around. I found that very funny.
Their whole dynamic was also something that I didn't pick up on. It was so awkward.
So
like
awkward.
As a child, I didn't really care about it. And watching it again, I was like, oh my God, if I was that guy, I would be like, this woman is a psycho.
She is a psycho.
I honestly, at the end, was like thinking if I was him, I would think that Mrs. Doubtfire is in love with Miranda.
Yes, because that's
accurate.
How
he's acting, and that's
true. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that too. And the funniest part to me is how often, as Mrs. Doubtfire, he says stuff that's super creepy and inappropriate to him, while everyone else is around, and everyone's just like, "Ah, Mrs. Doubtfire, she crazy." Like, that's it. They don't step in like at all.
Mama Bear. Yeah. Funny.
Yeah. Some of the music was interesting too. They had like You Look Like a Lady and Walk Like a Man, like a lot of those songs playing while he was like in or out of cross dressing, drag? I don't know what to call it. Or maybe it's literally just for him, I feel like he was just dressing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that
just
he was.
Just playing a character.
Right.
Like, acting.
Right. He was just acting a role.
Mm-hmm. Robin Williams is a good actor. I was thinking about this.
So good.
Yeah, because he was playing, like, a very – he's playing, like, a version of himself. He's definitely, like, very recognizable as Robin Williams. So he's definitely playing a character, too. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about his stuff in, like, Good Will Hunting. And just like
that's what I was thinking about, too. And the range is just incredible.
Yeah.
And surprising to no one, but he improvised a ton. And Christopher Columbus was basically like, let's just give you 4 takes on everything. Do the first one like the script says and then go nuts. Like, do whatever you want. And same as because we read some stuff when we did Good Will Hunting, and same as that set, they were like, they called it magic. It would have been so cool to see him improvise in real life because sounds like it was just – like sort of unbelievable to watch. Okay, question. I mean, it wouldn't have made anyone jump to the conclusion that Mrs. Doubtfire is actually Daniel, but how does he smell? Because he's like running around playing soccer, sweating up a storm. So mm-hmm. I kept wondering, and like so many layers. I just thought that was funny. I was like, and then you're hugging people. Like, can they not? Maybe they just think Mrs. Doubtfire's smelly, and that's the end of the thought. Like, you can't smell good.
Yeah, that's true. All those layers. Yeah.
That was mostly just one of those movie thoughts that I love. Like how no one, like how when people are on the phone and you can, I guess just nowadays with cell phones, you can tell the phone like isn't on. Mm-hmm. I love those little things. I think they're so funny. Or like no one ever goes to the bathroom.
It always drives me crazy how people don't say goodbye when they're on the phone in movies. Yes. It's like to save room on the page, but it's so weird.
But in the moment, just add bye. It's like a second extra.
Yeah.
And I have never hung up with someone without saying goodbye.
No, it's bizarre. How do you know when to hang up?
Yeah, how do you know we're done? Yeah. And I'm thinking about it, even not with friends, even if you're calling your insurance company or something, you still say goodbye. You still say bye and hang up.
Mm-hmm. It's a polite thing to do, people.
It's polite, even though it's not in movies. Take it into your own. Okay, I also had some amusing thoughts just about the kid's ages because it's his 12th birthday, the boy. Yeah. The daughter's older than him, right? She's the oldest.
Yeah, but I thought about this too. I think she can only be 13 because
they've been together 14. I had that same exact thought. But even if she's 13, I did write down, did we have spelling tests at 13?
I thought the same thing. I was like, what is going on?
They could have been working
like a remedial program.
Which is fine. But I think no. I think they just were like.
Disability. I don't know. Maybe this is a representation.
Maybe. And it didn't really matter. But it was just, a moment where they could have been. It could have been Spanish or something. Like, it could have been just a little more. And I was trying to do that. I was like, 13, aren't you? You're in, like, eighth grade.
You definitely know how to read.
You definitely know how to read. Unless you're getting extra help on that. No, it was like, I forget the word, but it was, like, discriminate.
I actually think the word was discriminate, which is an interesting word now that I think about it, too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that was amusing.
Mm-hmm. That is actually super interesting because that's the scene where gets discovered and then comes back in and they want to call the cops.
You're right. You're right. It's right before that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of the stuff we've talked about from this time that I just am always wondering how much they were doing to push an agenda and how much they weren't. And probably it was somewhere in the middle. And you said this earlier, but I do think it was like it was a progressive movie. I do think they were definitely pushing some narratives and trying to play with gender roles at the very least, even though some things they missed. And one of the articles I read, it was literally called The Pain of Rediscovering Mrs. Doubtfire. So it's not particularly positive, but they did still say, like, I don't think any of this was intentionally manipulative or like maliciously transphobic. I think there's a lot more education now. I don't think the people who made this movie were getting together to try to, like, be really negative or hateful. And I was like, I agree with that. And we're learning as we go and stuff. But parts where we're still. So I've clearly come out as not as on his side. But I was, like, making a list of some of the manipulative things that were happening. And it's, like, kind of insane. If I was his child, I would have a very hard time getting past this.
I was surprised at the end when they're like, I really miss her. And she's like, she's not real. But they're all like reminiscing. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I was cute, but I was also like, I would be disturbed.
I would be disturbed. Like, her reaction in the moment, the mom or the wife's reaction in the moment was great. I really appreciate
it.
She was like, I have to go. We have to go. I have to go. We have to go. I was like, yeah, girl, get out of there. What the fuck?
Yeah.
But I think, if I would be – and it was interesting when he lost – in the final court scene when he lost his children. Mm-hmm. Very sad. Again, amazing acting by Robin Williams because I felt like he played it really well giving his piece, but also he just seemed so defeated. Like you could tell he didn't believe that this was really going to work out. But the speech that the judge gives is like your behavior – was not okay. Like, you have to figure it out.
Yeah, but he also said something about, like, your lifestyle over the past 2 months. So, like, that also was, like, very
– I agree. That phrasing
representative of, like, the man at that time, you know?
Yeah, like, you have to live a specific way, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That cross-dressing in and of itself is deviant.
I agree. I agree with that. But that's another reason why I was having a hard time with it, because I was like, his, that part, it was that you were doing it without telling anybody what was going on.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it was also the sake of what, like the thing itself, because then he appoints the court mandated person. Right. And then later Robin Williams says something about how like every time I hug my kids, they like don't, they're like wondering why.
I appreciated that comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bless you.
And I read too that the original script, they don't get back together. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't think audiences would like that. So they wrote a bunch of versions where they get back together and then went back to, nope, sometimes divorced people don't get back together. And I think that's actually a more important message. And I agree. And I think that's valuable and important for people to see and kids to see and be like, that doesn't mean the happiness is gone or the love is gone. I mean, that's the whole final speech by Mrs. Doubtfire, basically. But I really like that. And I do think they did a good job like normalizing different family structures.
Would have been great if they just slipped in, like, some people have two mommies.
Yep. I had the exact same thought. I was like, I guess for 90s, that they were too afraid. And then I read a few things that it was pretty soon after this movie came out that Bill Clinton pushed through Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So some articles were saying, like, I think they pushed it as far as they felt they safely could push it, which could bring up a whole debate, too, of, like, well, don't be safe. This is the right thing. I don't know where I fall there, but I thought that was really interesting.
Yep, I agree.
I also really liked that Miranda, you know, I don't know. I thought she did a really good job handling the end, that she was like, I know that our kids are happier if you are in their life. And so that is what we're going to work on making happen, because I'm going to put that above whatever I might be struggling with.
Totally. Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I think also it showed to her that he has a version of himself inside of him that she didn't think was possible, that she didn't actually think was there.
That's a really good point too. Yeah.
And there would be something too. This man has, I don't know, there's something to like, this man cares so much about his family that he's been like taking care of me for the past couple months so he could be close to his kids and also like anticipating my needs and like understanding me better. I don't know. It would be very conflicting. I think a part of me would be like trusting him more almost.
Yes. Especially with the kids, especially as like a co-parent at the very least.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
And I think she did. I mean, I think that is what she saw. And I appreciated that from neither. I mean, he would have gone back to her, I think, if she had opened that door, but it didn't feel like that was his main goal, was to like get her back. His goal was like, I want to be fully parenting my children, like with you. Yeah.
Agree. I loved how everybody was just like instantly charmed by Mrs. Doubtfire.
Instantly charmed by her, except like, for who, that guy that she was mean to.
But like, even when the social worker comes by, just like immediately loves Mrs. Doubtfire, like trying the cake.
Even
on
though
her face.
It's like dripping into her tea. Yeah. No, that's true. There were some moments that really just, I mean, made me laugh. Like, I loved that when they're at that community pool or golf course pool, whatever, there's an Olympic-sized diving board.
Like, oh, I didn't even notice.
He does, like, a triple whatever. Like, you have to be so high to do that. That's not, like, a regular diving board. I thought that was incredible. I also loved that, when the social worker comes and Robin Williams has to like be going back and forth being both Mrs. Doubtfire and Daniel, that when going to make the tea, it's prepped for tea. Like, there are sugar cubes. I was like, Daniel has a crystal thing of sugar cubes. Like, were you getting into character as Mrs. Doubtfire? Like, some of the stuff just, maybe. I mean, I think I would buy that. I would totally believe that. But that kind
There's
of stuff
method
just,
acting.
Yeah, that kind of stuff just really made me laugh. Like, all those little details.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, this isn't a detail, and it might just be what her voice sounded like at that time, but the little Katie, is that the youngest, whatever her name is, everything she said was in, like, that whispery voice.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember. I know I've seen her in Matilda, you know, probably just a few years older. That's not how she talks to Matilda, is it? Do you have any memory? I don't know. That voice just really stood out for me because I kept being like, what? You have to speak up. It was the volume, not the pronunciation. But
I loved that they were always like, the kids, the other kids were always like carrying her, holding her hand. Like, I thought that was like super cute.
I thought it was so cute. And it weirdly took me until the end of the movie to realize that is my family structure.
Yeah.
I am 7 years younger. They say she's 5 and he's 12. And then she's like a year and a half older. That is exactly my family. And looking at it, and this has happened when I see like old home videos and stuff. That's a lot of years at those ages for a long time. Like she was so much littler than them. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember all of it, but yeah, I think they were always picking me up, moving me around. I was too slow. They had to take care of me. Like there were a lot of scenes where she's like leaning on one of them too, or they're just have their arms wrapped around her and is like, yep, that was definitely happening. So yeah, I agree. I thought that was very cute.
Yeah. That's funny. What else?
Oh, different vibe. But when Miranda is talking to Mrs. Doubtfire about Daniel, can you imagine talking to an ex and they're talking to you about you, but unfiltered for you? That would be rough. Maybe it would be lovely. I don't know what they're going to say. But I started going through like, oh, my God, I wonder what my exes would say if it was they didn't know I could hear it. And what you would say if you didn't think they could hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I know more of that because I've done that. But anyway, that would be oof.
That would be tough.
That would be tough.
I would just have a lot. I mean, he's wearing a full mask, but I would have a hard time like controlling my face.
Yes. I would too. I feel like, I mean, again, back to Robin's a great actor, but a lot was happening with his eyes in that scene. Mm-hmm. But I feel like because the face was, mask and it could stay mostly still.
It's funny, I'm the opposite. I like always think everybody is thinking negatively of me. So I feel like part of me would feel relieved to have that conversation.
Yeah, because it can't possibly be as negative as you think.
Exactly. I would be like, great, honestly, great.
Yes.
Relief. Confirmation of what I suspected. I thought that you didn't really like me, and now I know.
I actually had I similarly was like, I sort of want to know what it would be if it wasn't filtered for me, because I prefer, I mean, you and I are similar in this way. I just would prefer the truth, even if the truth is like maybe going to gut me a little. I would prefer that, and then I can deal with that.
Or so I say. I don't know if that would be real.
I mean, I guess it depends what they say. Mm-hmm. It would depend.
That's true.
But I don't think I could hear it in this way. I would just react too soon and give things away.
So it's
away
like, I secretly want to, like, murder her. Like,
that would be hard. I can't believe your brain went there. I think it would be hard to hear basically what Mrs. Duff, like, what Daniel ended up having to hear, but that there was regret. Like, I sort of wish... I don't know. She was like, it fell apart and like it didn't work out. And I sort of wish we hadn't. I guess she doesn't say I wish we hadn't gotten together, but it would be hard to hear that your partner had been really miserable for a long time and you didn't notice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
But that would also be something you could theoretically take ownership of moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else. That was most of my thoughts.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
That was Mrs. Doubtfire.
That was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay, what we've been watching. Let me go. Right before we recorded, I told her I had a lot. Okay, well, I can't believe last time we recorded, I didn't mention Queer Eye, season 7.
Okay. Oh, my God. It's season 7?
Season 7. Didn't even realize.
I think it just started.
I know.
I didn't realize. That's crazy. Do they do one a year or do they just keep making them?
I guess it's probably about one a year. It's never enough. I always want double of whatever. I feel like they used to come out closer to each other, and now I think it'd been over a year since we'd seen any of it. I loved it, obviously. The first episode is a frat house. Wow. Which was really interesting. Yeah. It was like a nerdy frat house, but they needed to be told to love themselves. And Bobby is the one who does all the cleaning and designing, and he made them clean. He was like, I am not. You have to learn how – this is despicable. Like, you have to learn how to clean. I felt like this season they all – I mean, they're all still very kind. The energy is still, like, let's teach people how to love themselves, et cetera. But this season they were more like, I'm going to get real with you. You've got to step it up, which I really liked. And there was one episode just sort of based on some of the stuff you and I talked a lot about in the Glow episode with, like, body image and stuff. There was one woman who was around our age, a bit older, and she was a principal. And she very deeply believed that, like, until she lost weight – and she was my size, maybe. But she very much was like, until I lose weight, like, I'm not lovable. I won't be able to, you know, like, my friends don't like me as much. Like, really some deep-seated stuff. I cried through, like, the whole episode because she just kept saying stuff that I have said. But hearing another person said it, I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, no one cares that much. And I hope you can figure out how to love yourself. But Tan, who does the clothing and stuff, at one point said, okay, I'm going to help you find clothes that make you feel good. But I also think this is beyond clothes for you. Like, you need to do some work on this yourself because it's not. The clothes can't change your entire, like, relationship with your body. So anyway, I highly recommend it if you want to watch people be nice and cry, which maybe you don't, but I liked it. What about you? Or do you want me to go through my whole spiel?
I've been sick, so I watched – and you know I love World War II.
Yes.
So I watched an entire documentary show called World War II in Color.
Ooh.
And I highly recommend it. It was super informative. They basically took they took restored footage of, like, actual battles and whatever, and then had talking head interviews in between.
That's cool.
And it was good.
What's it
I'm
on?
Just constantly – it's on Netflix.
Okay.
I say this all the time, and I'm just constantly shocked by how little I know about the world, and I wish our education system was better. It's fucking World War II. Like, I should know about it. I also love it, and
yes.
I was still learning things that I had no idea.
No, I feel like, for me, one of the issues with
– weird to say that I love war. That's not what I mean.
Well, you're not alone. People get it. That people are fascinated by it. I feel like there's a fascination
with it.
Which makes complete sense because it's a lot about human nature and, like, how far can things go. And I totally understand that. I was going to say World War II documentaries. But, like what we learn in school. I feel like you learn the same, like – 17 years of history. Like, I don't understand the Korean War or Vietnam. Like, I don't really know what happened.
Right. Yeah.
And that feels not great. Like, what's the Cold War? I don't know. And then, I mean, obviously, America specifically, and probably more countries than just America, but they skew some of the information. So even if you have it, it's not quite right. So yeah, I agree with you. It would be great to know more.
Like, obviously the Nazis were, like, the worst ever. But also, England kind of sucked.
Like, they
spent, like, a long time just bombing all of these cities and just killing civilians.
I mean, yeah. To look at any war – this might be a naive thing to say. But I feel like to look at any war and feel like there are good guys and bad guys and that's it and there's, like, no room for anything else is not – accurate. And that was definitely how I feel like we learned about them. And it was like, America's the heroes and you're welcome, we got involved. I'm like, we didn't help all the time. Like, I don't know. So anyways, that's cool. That's interesting. I'm glad you found a new one. You can just keep getting more info.
And I also rewatched all of Mindhunter, which I don't know if we need to go into detail about. Did you ever watch that?
I don't think I know what that is, though. I feel – I know – I've heard it, but I don't know what it is.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to just
– No, go ahead.
About it? It's with John Groff, who – do you know that – he was like – got his start on – well, got his start on Broadway, but then his first role was in Glee.
Yes.
It was like his first big role. He's in Looking on
HBO. Yes.
So it's him playing this FBI agent who in the 70s discovered, like, started talking to all these serial killers and figuring out how to, like, profile criminals, which I have mixed feelings about now. And they kind of explore in the show, too, about how, like, it can be really fucked up. Because you're basically trying to stop crimes before they happen.
Yeah. But, like, but they haven't done it yet.
So. Yeah. But it's really good. It's two seasons. Also, I realized the woman that's in it is a woman that plays Tess on The Last of Us.
Oh.
And she's playing a completely different role.
Oh, like, that's
she's
cool.
Such a good actress. I, like, didn't – I barely recognized her. I think it is. Well, now I have to look it up because now I'm like, am I right? Yeah. So I rewatched that in, like, 2 days because, again, I was sick. And I highly recommend it if you like true crime stuff. And I don't even really like true crime stuff.
Have you seen previews for the – oh, God. What's it called? Why can't I can never remember that? I have to write things down. Hang on. We'll both look things up.
It is the same woman. Anna Torv. I just confirmed. In The Last of Us and Mindhunter.
Perfect. Have you heard of Based on a True Story? It just came out.
Is it the one that has that girl from
Kaylee
Euphoria?
Kaylee Cuoco?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a different one.
There might also be someone
called Reality.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that previous for that too. No, this has Chris Messina from who plays Danny in The Mindy Project, and then Kaylee Cuoco. And then, I mean, other people, obviously, too.
Love
but they seem to be
people.
The two leads. And the premise is she seems to be playing from the trailer, a slightly similar character to what she was doing in Flight Attendant. Mm-hmm. But they're a married couple, and she's obsessed with true crime, so she thinks she's found a crime, and he's like, no, you didn't. And then I think it will turn out that she did, and they get, like, overly involved, and, you know, one of those things, like hijinks ensue. So it looks like it could be funny. Based on a true story.
Okay.
And it's on Peacock.
It's a show?
It's a show. It says season one.
Cool.
So. I don't know how it'll, but it looks like it could be funny, and I love him. Speaking of him, I rewatched all of The Mindy Project in an embarrassing amount of time, but I'm studying so much that it's nice to have, like, a break show, and that was a good one because I've seen it before, and I think I've said this before, and maybe even on the podcast, so I won't talk about it a lot, but that show is good. It was a little ahead of its time. I don't think I appreciated it as much when it was out the first time, so, and honestly... And I know Mindy Kaling in the news has, like, recently lost a lot of weight, and there's a lot of headlines about that. Yeah, there's, you know, you've heard of Ozempic?
Is it a diet pill?
Yeah, I mean, technically it's for type 2 diabetes, but it's, like, very hot in Hollywood right now. I do not know if that's what she's on. She won't talk about it, but she doesn't know us any information.
Oh, my gosh.
But she looks really,
really
different.
Thin.
Yeah. Wow. So I don't know. It could be something she did separately. Like, I have no information, obviously, about Mindy Kaling. But I'll just say, watching The Mindy Project with what she looked like during The Mindy Project was actually, like, quite healing for me. Because her character is really confident and, like, having a lot of sex and wearing really fun and interesting clothes and talking about how great she looks and how hot she is all the time. And that was really, I don't know. It was, like, really nice to watch again and see that play out.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too, because I randomly caught one scene of it. I can't remember why. And it was, like, I think they had, like, a new hot, like, British doctor join or whatever, and she dates him for a little while, and they were talking about how, like, the scene was, like, he wanted to have sex, like, in the bathroom or whatever. And
yeah.
She was, like, I have to be a professional. And I was like, that's really nice that he has the hots for her.
Right. And that happens a lot in the show. And I really, it was really nice. So that was cool. Highly recommend. Keeping on the Mindy train, I finished Never Have I Ever.
Nice.
Just obsessed. So
everybody
pleased.
Loves it. I don't know why I'm, like, internally resistant to starting.
I mean,
the
I
show.
Still haven't watched Mayor of Easttown, so I don't know. I do it too. It's super weird. Like, sometimes people keep, and I'm like, you are probably right. I will probably become obsessed, and I simply can't take the steps toward that at this time. But I was very satisfied.
Sorry, I'm still
by the
looking
finale.
At the Mindy Kaling stuff. Yeah. Sorry, I, like, googled it.
This is still Mindy. Never Have I Ever. Still Mindy.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I'm looking at her body, which I shouldn't give a fuck about, but I'm just thinking about it. It kind of reminds me of when Adele lost a bunch of weight. Like, I think she's again, it doesn't matter, and it's my opinion, but I just feel like she's, like, less pretty in a way.
I don't know if I think – yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm even looking at those pictures wondering if she's more or less pretty, but I'm more like, this is really dramatic, and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff typically I feel like physical health and mental health come into. So I would be surprised to learn someone was, like, really physically and mentally healthy after going through something like that. Because it's, yeah, it's so fast. Me to
say that she's more pretty, like, less pretty. That's right.
Really, I know what you mean, though. I mean, in the last two seasons of Mindy Project, I think she started getting lip injections, and mm-hmm. I couldn't stop looking at it.
mm-hmm.
And it makes me a little sad because I'm like, you didn't have to do that. But then, same as what you're saying, I'm like, well, what the? It's not. It's your face. Do whatever you want. Like, it's not. Up I think to me, it is, but it makes me sad to think you thought there was something wrong with your lips that you had to fix.
Yeah, that. I think what it is for me is that she looks less distinctive.
Mm.
And I felt that way about Adele, too. Now I was like, well, you just look like another skinny white lady.
Yes.
And like, I don't know, Mindy's not white, but right. she just looks like another skinny, like, Hollywood person to me.
Yeah, and I like when the people look like, what they, like, yeah, unique. They're, it feels mm-hmm. like it takes away some of the body diversity in Hollywood, which I would like there to be more of that, not less. But yeah, on their personal journeys, I hope you're well.
Happy with it as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, Love Never Have I Ever. Can't recommend it enough. And then Ted Lasso also finished. And I also was very satisfied with that.
Oh, that's good. I heard Ted Lasso was kind of weird this season.
It was a journey of a season, but the finale, I loved it.
Really?
You know, because we did our episode on finales, and it just – both Never Have I Ever and Ted Lasso gave me exactly what I wanted the finale of that show to be. It kept Perfect. The tone. It gave me a hug. It just kept – I felt very satisfied and taken care of.
That's awesome.
So
– that's all you want.
Yeah. So if you haven't watched either of those shows, you'll be satisfied by the end. And I checked in with other people, so that's not just my opinion.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's good.
So yeah,
anything else?
My final one was Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
It wasn't for me.
I have really completely 180'd on Chris Pratt. I like kind of can't deal with him now.
Yeah, I was talking to someone and they said they thought he was the greatest actor of our time, and I agree with that
we
at
don't
all.
Take this in, but who said that?
My brother.
No,
and I was
what?
Shocked. I, like, was so shocked that we didn't even really talk about it because I was like, what? But I don't have, like, I don't know who – I'd have to think about who if I was going to come up with someone else. Anyway, that was really interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. Guardians 3 was fine. Guardians has never been my favorite, like, piece of the Marvel world. So – but this one didn't have a ton of humor. And we know that the Marvel movies I like are the ones with humor. So – it was
– that's funny fine. That it doesn't – I felt like it was one of the most, like – historically, the funniest.
I didn't like the first one because I thought it was more serious than I wanted it to be. And then the second one was very funny, in my opinion. And then this one, I was also braced the whole time for someone to die. So that added into my experience because I was like, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Anyway, and then I also watched Exo Kitty, which is a spinoff of To All the Boys I Loved Before. It's the youngest sister goes to Korea for school to, like, their mom has passed away. That's, like, part of the canon of that story. So she goes to the school that her mom went to in Korea. And it's, like, a teen love story, but I thought it was really interesting because a lot of the, like, cuts in the edits were things I hadn't seen before, and I wondered how much of it was, like, maybe what Korean dramas are like, which I probably would love if I can get over my subtitle hang up. Because it's exactly my type of shit.
You would absolutely love it.
I think I would love that.
I'm sure it's dubbed somewhere. You don't like dub either, though.
No, but I gotta get over it because I'm keeping myself real limited with these rules. That is everything. Well, it's not, but I can't just keep rambling. We'll cut it off there.
Those are the highlights.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see The Summer I Turned Pretty season 2.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
A month away from when we're recording. So even closer if you're listening.
I'm excited to see what it is, but I'm honestly not getting my hopes up. I don't know if they can pull off the magic.
Oh, I feel the same way. I think that's how you have to go into these things. Just like, at least for me, that one was, I mean, I watched it when I had COVID, so I was just transported into the sort of like fluffy little world. And that's all mm-hmm. I want. If they kill it with all the emotional energy and stuff again, that'll be great. But have you seen the teaser for it?
No.
They give things away. So things that I thought would be big reveals apparently are not, because they show them in the teaser.
Oh, I don't want to watch it then.
Yeah, you know, I was disappointed. I was like, excuse me?
I don't know when it's coming back, but I saw that Ginny and Georgia has been picked up for season 3 and 4.
Oh, I think I saw that too. Yeah, I don't know when that's back either, but very excited about that. I'm so excited you're excited about that. One of the few things I got you into. Love that.
Yeah, I love it.
And Barbie. I want to see Barbie. I think that'll be out already by the time this movie comes out, but I'm curious. The internet got me curious, and I want to see what Greta Gerwig does with this story.
Yeah, I love Greta. I feel I personally don't care about it at all. I'm like kind of shocked because it's something that I feel like I should be interested in. And I'm just like, ugh.
It comes out the same weekend as Oppenheimer. Maybe you'll see that instead.
I will definitely see Oppenheimer.
And I will definitely not see Oppenheimer.
I actually started writing like the first couple scenes of an Oppenheimer screenplay once.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you should see, they come out the same weekend. You see that. Mm-hmm. I'll see Barbie and then we'll compare.
Sounds good.
Cool. Do you think we have to repeat everything we just did? They know. It's been like 5 seconds of music. I was listening to my recording last time. I was like, you don't need to tell them what you just did. So, sure. Next week, or no, sorry, in 2 weeks, we will be doing The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
That one I've seen a handful of times. Is it like obsession?
No, I've only seen it a handful of times, but most recently when I saw it, I was like, damn, I love this movie. Like, it helped. I like it more now than I did when I first originally saw it.
Yes, I felt the same way. I didn't love it when I first saw it, and I think I watched it like a year ago. Look at you.
Well, I think it's something I am obsessed with, like, I'm not obsessed. I love Anne Hathaway's trajectory through Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I love that she was, like, the Golden Girl, and then everybody hated her. And
everyone
now
hated her.
Like, wait a second.
Maybe she's fine.
Awesome. Yeah. Like, post-Me Too, everyone's like, wait, Anne Hathaway is great.
Yeah. I feel like Katherine Heigl had a similar trajectory where everyone's like, oh, she's always complaining. And then you hear interviews now, and she's just saying people were treating me like shit, and I didn't let them. Yeah. We all got mad at you, but good work, girl.
Stand like up everything yourself. She said about Knocked Up, if you watch Knocked Up now, like, duh, it was like that.
Oh,
like,
I watched Knocked really Up recently, yeah. And it is a really awful movie.
Yeah, like, it was for my favorite. Women. When I was like 13, it was like my favorite movie. Mm-hmm. Tells you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I watched it and I was like, oh my God, this is why I've made a lot of the life decisions I've made that weren't really very healthy life choices.
Judd
Apatow, what the fuck?
To this day, it's like in my bones. Sometimes I just like wake up for a minute and I'm like, why am I letting this man treat me like shit? Like, why did I do that? And it's just because that's what we were taught.
Yeah, that's what we were taught. Oh, gosh. Also, talking about Devil Wears Prada, I can't not think about my experience as a personal assistant. So maybe you'll get some nuggets about that. See how.
Nice. Love those stories.
Yeah.
Always good.
And in the meantime, you can check us out online, theriffpod.com. You can always email us, theriffpod@gmail.com. And on social, we are theriffpod. Leave us a message somewhere. Leave us a review.
Bye. Stay cool. Enjoy the beginning of your summer, everybody.